Great. Thank you, Lilith, too, for reading so beautifully. And I'm going to concentrate on that passage, just in that middle bit there, the Peter's private conversation with Jesus when Jesus asks him three questions, the bit where Peter, in a sense, is reinstated. Many of you know that I love to sail. It's a skill I learned as a young teenager. I joined a boys' Christian youth club. And that meant going on a Sunday afternoon to a Bible class, some singing. But what was much more interesting was there was a games night of, table tennis, snooker. And even better, and though I didn't know it at the time when I first, there was the club leader, a guy called Herbert Hackett. I just discovered, actually, he passed to glory. He went to heaven. He died in only in last December. He must have been aged about 182, I don't know, something like that. And he was a godly man, a great man. He brought many teenage boys to faith in Jesus Christ. What a soldier and a servant of the gospel. Anyway, Herbert Hackett, this leader of this afternoon, Sunday afternoon Christian group, was a keen sailor and, in fact, a sailing instructor. And he taught me how to sail. It didn't matter what I felt about his faith in God, or he would show me how to sail. It was, let me show you. Try this yourself. Have a go again, and again, and again. And there you can do it. And they're lessons I really have never forgotten. And he's the look back. He gave life lessons every day I met him. Lessons about God, lessons about how to live well, how to serve others, how to be passionate for God, and so on. Without knowing it at the time, he seemed to live a life that invited us boys to follow him. And we did, but actually we ended up following Jesus, which is what I think he really wanted. And boy after boy after boy, we came to faith and followed Jesus. And within those years of fun and learning and coming to faith myself, there were plenty of times when I must have let him down. Times when he needed to pick me up. Times when he needed to point me once more to my commitment to Jesus. Times when I too stepped up finally to responsibility. Responsibility in my faith and in my life in the church to which I belonged. He never actually said those words, "Follow me," but his life was always saying, "Follow Jesus. It's the best way to live." He modeled it beautifully. Follow Jesus. Well, follow me. And I seem to have my PowerPoint seems to have frozen, so we'll just stop that. Well, with it. Follow me. You must follow me. The key to our passage tonight is follow me. It's there in verse 19 of John 21. If you've got a Bible, do have it with you. I'll be looking at these little words here. Follow me, says Jesus to Peter. And then he says it again, and the second time he says it much more emphatically in verse 22. He said, "You must follow me. You must follow me." This resurrection appearance of Jesus centers first on all the disciples realizing that their original mission is reinstated by Jesus. It's there in the special catch of fish at the beginning of this chapter. It would have reminded them of their very one of their very first meetings with Jesus that's recorded in Luke chapter 5. There, Jesus had invited the disciples, as they weren't disciples at the time, but they're just fishermen, to put their nets down again. They'd had a night of fruitless fishing, and some landlubber on the shore says, "Put your nets down again." Anyway, they did. The catch was enormous, and such a large number, the nets began to break, were recorded by Luke. It's used by Jesus to signify that they would become fishers of people, drawing many to be followers of Jesus. And so this catch of fish after Jesus' death and resurrection is really important. The catch of 153 fish, we're told. By the way, I think that number is only important for being a large number. I don't think it's worth speculating on all the numerology you can play with it. It's just a large catch, a huge catch, and it's such a large number that John remembered that amount of fish, 153, some 60 odd years later when he wrote this gospel. So the breakfast barbecue is over. It seems that Jesus takes Peter on a walk along the beach with maybe young John following behind, perhaps just in or out of earshot, we're not certain. is the chance for Jesus to reinstate Peter, to help him atone for the past mistakes, to set him up ready to lead the disciples as the leader of this fledgling early church. So Peter is reinstated, and he's done it firstly through repentance. Jesus asks three questions of Peter. Well, actually, it's not Peter, is it? It's quite interesting. It's Simon, son of John. It's Peter's original name. Simon, he's the son of John. And that's the name that Jesus uses. Not Peter, not even Simon Peter, which is often how Jesus is referred to in the Bible. The Peter bit, it's the bit that Jesus added to his name. It's now missing. Jesus doesn't address him as Peter. Peter is the Greek for the word rock. Cephas is the Aramaic equivalent. We sometimes come across these names for Peter or Simon Peter in the text, in the New Testament. But Jesus doesn't address him as Peter the rock because he's failed to live up to that name. Here is Jesus facing Peter, and Peter with all his own limitations. And Peter might have thought he was all strength and confidence, but a few days before he'd been saying, "I'll never leave you, I'll never deny you, I'll never desert you." And what we find on the beach is Simon, son of John. Jesus knows that's who he's walking with now, just Simon, son of John. Simon on his own will always be Simon. He can't be anything more than that. But Simon with Jesus, trusting in Jesus, can become Simon Peter, the rock on whom that church is built, whose life of witness and leadership will establish the early church. This is the opportunity for Simon to become Peter. And it's only done through repentance, through saying sorry for the mistakes and self-reliance that Jesus had asserted, and laying it all aside to become the Peter of faith, trust and hope in Jesus. So here in this story in John 21, Jesus confronts Simon Peter before another charcoal fire. Not the fire of the high priest's courtyard, but another charcoal fire, a fire to warm his heart, a fire to purge his threefold denial in the high priest's courtyard of Jesus' trial. And it wasn't easy for Simon Peter to do this, you know. He was hurt. Look at that in verse 17. He was hurt. But Jesus insists on asking him three times, "Do you love me?" It's a universal principle that before we can follow Jesus, as he invites us to do, the sin in our lives must be addressed. The areas of our lives that deny Jesus his honour and lordship are the very parts that we need to lay aside if we're truly to follow, to love him, truly to follow him. One former Archbishop of Canterbury, a guy called William Temple, put it this way. He said, you know, when we fail in our discipleship, it's always for one of two reasons. Either we're just not trying to be loyal, or else we're trying in our own strength and find it's not enough. Well, he was loyal, but he was trying in his own strength. But let's take heart, because failure with God is never the end. There's always forgiveness for those who repent and turn to follow Jesus, whether it's for the first time, another time. Indeed, it might feel like every time for you. So Peter is reinstated, firstly, through this act of repentance, this way of saying sorry to Jesus through these three questions. But in those same three questions, Peter is also reinstated and he is renewed. There is a renewal that is going on. Regardless of the fact that Jesus had appeared to Peter on that first Easter day, we read of that in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 5. It says there that he appeared to Peter, then to the 12. Sometime that happened, this first appearance of Jesus before Peter, it happened sometime between visiting the tomb with John and the women early in the morning and then Jesus' evening appearance in the locked upper room that first Easter Sunday. Jesus knows that Peter is still feeling the weight of his inadequacy, his failure, his repudiation of Jesus. And in the threefold question and answer between Jesus and Peter, Peter is enabled to shake off that inadequacy he feels, his failure, his repudiation, not by denying that they haven't happened, but saying that with Jesus he can walk past them, because it is Jesus who helps him to do that and renews Peter's vocation. I don't know about you, but don't you think that before this conversation, Peter was still a bit downhearted, really? Perhaps he felt he was a shadow of the person he was, the shadow of the leader he was meant to be. Well, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't just pat him on the back and say, you know, there, never mind, let's forget about it. No, he offers Peter a fresh challenge, a new commission, a renewed responsibility to be shepherd of this small flock who would change the world. Here, the good shepherd, Jesus, renews Peter's calling to be the shepherd of the sheep. And when Peter, through his affirmation of love for Jesus, is repenting of his denial, he's also opening himself to the healing and renewing work of Jesus in his life. Taking what has happened, never negating it, but reshaping it to be part of the Peter who will go forward now in following Jesus. So my friends, take heart. Repentance with God is not the end. There is always renewal for those who are open to the Holy Spirit, those who are ready to follow once again in the steps of Jesus. So Peter's reinstatement involved repentance. It means saying sorry for what he'd done. It involved him being ready to be renewed in his vocation. And then it was about actually responsibility, taking up a responsibility to serve. So Peter forgiven, Peter renewed, and Peter commissioned. Three times Jesus offers him a responsibility to take forward, a very clear responsibility. Look, Peter is directed to feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep. When Peter repents and is renewed, he's not left with nothing to do. As he follows Jesus and loves Jesus, he accepts also responsibility for Jesus's people. Peter's responsibility is to share in Jesus' work of shepherding Jesus' people. You see, to follow Jesus, to be committed to his church. Jesus doesn't come as a single person. He always comes with his church, his bride, it's called in the New Testament. The church is the bride of Christ, the one he loves and gives his life for. To follow Jesus and to ignore his bride, his church, is just as unacceptable as it would be in a human context to ignore someone's spouse. Genuine repentance and renewal of our lives is not just turning to and accepting Christ, but also to turn to and accept his bride, the church. And the responsibility of all who seek to follow Jesus, not just Peter, but all of us who want to follow Jesus, is to find that Christian ministry that he has for us. That area of responsibility he wants us to serve in. It might be, for some, you'll be a great platform speaker. But to others, you know, you might be to the person who welcomes on the door. The one who quietly prays for the person sitting next to them. The one who serves those in desperate need who never say thank you out loud to them. You see, somewhere deep down inside of us, we allow that love for Jesus to grow, and through him, we let him down, we know, don't we? We do let him down. But he wants us to find that love, to express that love, and to let that love, his love, heal the hurts and the failures of the past. And he wants to give us a new responsibility, a new work to do with him and for him. We don't earn this forgiveness. Nothing will do that. It's all grace. All grace from start to finish. We love and serve and worship because Jesus has loved us already. Already he's forgiven us. Already he is renewing us by his Holy Spirit living within us. And already he is offering us responsibility to partner with him day by day and year by year to do great things in this world, to bring his love to those around us. So Peter reinstated. It meant saying sorry, repenting. It was meant being renewed in his faith and calling. It meant taking a responsibility to serve. And it wasn't going to be an easy road. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Verse 18. It's not going to be an easy road, Peter. It'll be a surrender to the one who loved and surrendered himself for him. In the first century, the same time really as the early church, and Seneca was an advisor to the Roman Emperor Nero, the famous one who played his violin while Rome burned. Anyway, Seneca wrote to a friend called Lucilius that there were three types of people working their way towards truth. There were those who were forging their own path without the help of others. There were those who required a leader to follow faithfully. And there were those who needed someone to push and cajole them on the way. Well, for those of us who follow Christ, that first group, forging your own path without the help of others, it's just actually not an option. You can't earn your way into Jesus' life. And the third group, in a way, doesn't really reflect a genuine love of Christ. If you have to be pushed and cajoled to do something, you're not really walking on a road of loving desire to do something for someone. It's that second group, isn't it? That is the way of faith. Reliant on the leader who has followed faithfully. Well, reliant on Jesus who has blazed the trail before us. We can't earn our place alongside Jesus. And you shouldn't need to be forced to walk alongside Jesus. You are being invited to follow faithfully the one who has gone before. So we think about this passage of Peter, and here he is having to say sorry, repent, having to open himself up to be the renewing of the Holy Spirit, but that's a good thing for him, and being ready to take on responsibility to be partnering. Jesus wants him, even Peter, to work with him for the glory of God's kingdom. So tonight, do you need to repent? Is it now a time to say sorry? Sorry for denying who Jesus is. Sorry for denying for what he's done. Sorry for denying the attempts to be a Lord of your life. Are you sorry that you don't let him be your Lord as he wants to be? Do you need to let your life be renewed by Jesus? The time to put your own efforts and your own desires to one side and to really pray for the renewing of the Holy Spirit within you. To pray there really would be more of that love, that joy, that peace, that patience, that kindness, that goodness, that faithfulness, gentleness, that self-control. That's the renewing of the Spirit. Is that what you're needing tonight? And is it time perhaps step up to some responsibility to partner with Jesus, building his kingdom, making his love known, sharing that love with others? Is it time to love God's people, that you serve them as you are able, as he gifts you, that in giving you encourage and bless his church, his bride, his people? Jesus says to Peter, follow me. You must follow me. I think Jesus is saying tonight to all of us, follow me. There's that invitation there, follow me. He's saying that to you this evening. How will you hear and act? How will you follow? Let's just have a moment of quiet. Perhaps you want to close your eyes. Maybe you want to just reflect on this. Is Jesus perhaps standing before you, maybe walking on a beach with you? But he loves you, and he's asking you to love him in return. To say sorry and repent, to let him renew you and make you the person that you know will always be the best. And he invites you to share with him some responsibility to be part of his kingdom making. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Maybe you'll find a prayer you can say amen to at the end. That means yes, yes, yes. So let me lead us in a prayer that picks up these themes as Jesus says, follow me, to all of us. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you reach out to me day by day. I admit that I am one who does wrong, and I am sorry. I'm sorry that I have let you down. I believe that you are the Lord Jesus, who died for my sins on the cross. I believe that you are the one who was raised from the dead. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to renew me. And I ask you to lay on my heart and mind how I can serve you and your purposes and to rejoice in partnering with you day by day and year by year. I ask this in the name of you, Lord Jesus. Amen. That's been a special prayer for you tonight. Then let me know that I can encourage you, pray for you. Maybe I need to reflect with you a bit about that, how to take it forward. Just give me a call on my number. Drop me an email, vicar@ccbedford.org. I'd be very happy to talk with you more. Thank you. God bless you.